and laughter and coffee with Renee Bernard. Women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. I cannot believe it. I'm pinching myself. I am Renee Bernard, and I am so lucky because tonight I have Stuart Thomas of 13 Legends fame on the program tonight. Welcome, Stuart.
Hello. Thank you very much indeed. It's very nice to be here.
And I have to say, we have a lot of authors that come on and writers and everybody's website, you know, it all blends. But our listeners are going to remember this one. Everybody, it's www.frostyogre.com.
That's it, yeah.
I love. And 13 Legends, congratulations. You went on Kickstarter. And you, I mean, I know it's not a record maybe, but 231%.
Yes,
of your goal.
Really, really well. Yeah, it went extremely well. I mean, I can't take a huge amount of credit for the success of the campaign because John Eastman, who created the series, and his wife, who's an incredible graphic designer, they really put their heads together to make our campaign incredible. But yes, it went very, very well, and we're all really delighted about it.
Yeah.
And
you get to take a little bit of credit. You can take
ahead.
You can take a little bit of credit for that, but
I hassled enough people, that's for sure. I made enough phone calls and shook enough people down. So I think, I mean, I certainly brought in a bit of money, but it was a very interesting experience, and
your friends had such an all-powerful reach, and
I know.
I love it.
I
love it.
I know. It was a good experience.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And just to clear the air, in case you'd heard rumors, I genuinely do love 13 Legends. This was not just an excuse to hear you talk for 13 minutes, which was an accusation that I had.
It's so funny that you say that because when John and I, well, most of the time I forget I have an accent because it's not really something that one ever considers. And at the start of John and I discussing doing Kickstarter and making the video and all that stuff, we were really kind of concerned that my accent would be a handicap because clearly it's definitely a thing, although I think it's much less pronounced than it was when I moved to the States. I mean, I think
working on it? Yep. Are you toning it down? Is that what you're doing?
Not on purpose, but seriously, just to be understood. Sometimes I'm definitely aware of maybe pulling back a little bit from time to time. And when I'm truly aware of it is when I go back to Scotland and people rip me apart because they think I sound American now. So
oh my gosh!
Very funny, very funny.
Yeah, no, not American. I hate to break it to you, not so much.
No, I don't think I'm sounding very American.
No, never underestimate the Anglophile, the power of that.
I'm very aware of it now. I mean, it's it was something that at first, because I came here to go to university, obviously it was, I didn't really understand that my accent would be anything. And I was really made aware of it at first because I think I speak more clearly than I did then. Mm-hmm. But then people were like, I don't understand the word you're saying. So,
oh, no. I think the girls would be a little
well,
drawn to you.
Yeah, people liked it. People definitely like it. It makes it really easy to get served in bars, I will say that, because people remember you. So you can go back and forward quite a bit and people will always remember you because you're the Scottish person. So it's quite useful there.
I love it. Well, being involved with 13, you've been a writer for quite some time, and we were talking about you've been doing writing for theater and for, multiple, sort of avenues of, of writing. And the partnership and how great that is. John Eastman, as you mentioned, is he sort of conceived the idea for 13 Legends, and you've been working with him on this.
Well, John and I actually met at university. Well, I told you I came here to go back to school, and John was in a writing class with me, and we got along really well, and then we started to collaborate. And then John had an idea based on Arthurian themes, that he was talking to me as a screenplay and or a possible TV thing, and we talked about it, and it was a fantastic idea, but then John really didn't do too much with it until maybe about 2 years later, a year and a half maybe, when he said to me, you know, I really want to work on this idea as a graphic novel, and I've written the first chapter, would you read it and see what you think? So I read it, and I was blown away by it. It was really, really incredible. And he said, do you want to collaborate with me on it? And I said, oh, yeah. So, yeah, because, I mean, I think it's a fantastic idea. John's done an amazing job of kind of crafting this world. So it's been really good fun to write the book with him, and then to think about the subsequent books, because, as you know, it's 13 legends because it's 13 volumes. So we have quite a ways to go with the story. So, which is quite just fun.
But there's really room to run, and I love the alternative history.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost got that lovely steampunk. You've sort of reinvented the entire world because you had the Industrial Revolution happen in the 15th century, and it just pushes everything back 400 years, forward. I loved that idea.
That was one of the most fun parts of it. You know, thinking, okay, we're gonna set this in a world that didn't happen. So what did happen, and when did things start to change, and what were the consequences of that change? And John and I both really love history, so that part of the process was great fun, because we could do whatever we wanted to. You know, history could go any way that we wanted to. So that was a really creative part of the process, and you don't often get to do that as a writer. Well, we don't often get to do that as a writer.
If you're writing strictly historical fiction, or really you have to follow the guidelines of what occurred. You took the train off the rails. You can completely say, no, not this world war. It's
mm-hmm.
this world war, and,
mm-hmm.
and this
mm-hmm.
is how that would have unfolded,
mm-hmm.
and it would have happened. You know,
there. That was great fun.
And I love that idea too, because you have to kind of rein it in as well, you know, but you sort of decided if technology were, you know, if you kicked the floodgates open early, what were
mm-hmm.
men focused on? And sadly,
mm-hmm.
they were focused on war. It was, how do I break down that castle, or, you know, get them, you know, add, you know, so that everything is sort of skewed to a war, I hate to say it, but like a warlike economy and development, so that's all that energy is going that direction.
That is how we kicked it all off. Was we had this idea that, you know, Leonardo da Vinci kind of conceived these incredible machines of war that never left the page, because he was that wasn't kind of how he was seen. But we imagined, you know, that one of his notebooks of these fantastical designs was stolen and then fell into the wrong hands, and then these machines that he'd imagined become real. Of course, as you say, and it's all about war, it's all about acquisition of territory.
That's where the money was,
totally.
But, I mean, he did, though, design a tank, didn't he? And
he designed lots
planes
of tanks. The drawings are incredible, and they really do make one think, you know, imagine these things had come to pass then. Where would we be? How would things be different?
If Da Vinci himself kind of knew. I mean, I had this weird thought of, like, I wonder if Da Vinci deliberately tucked those in a drawer because he thought, no, I just don't want it to go that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's more than possible, because he also wrote in a cipher, didn't he? He wrote a lot of things in codes.
In code.
Part of that was to protect himself, of course, but there must have also been part of that was perhaps, okay, well, these things maybe shouldn't leave my imagination. You know, obviously we're speculating, but it's an interesting...
I love it. You've got philosophy students all over the planet. Back to that age-old question of, because you can... Should
mm-hmm.
you?
Where
does the line draw? Of course, the art itself, the way it's... The video was just so amazing. Anybody who saw it on Kickstarter, I can't imagine they didn't immediately get rabid about trying to get a piece of it. And it was just, I just wanted to congratulate you on that. And oh my gosh, wow. So are you monogamous with John? Is John your only writing partner?
No, I work with quite.
John, you're seeing other people?
I'm seeing other people in a creative sense. Yes, yeah, I have two different people that I work with. I work with a friend of mine in Scotland. We've written a lot together. And another friend of mine in LA, my friend Bryn, she and I have written together. So I like working with other people, and I like, I think every partnership brings a different chemistry to bear. And John and I, John is a master storyteller, I would say. John is really excellent when it comes to crafting stories. And I think my strengths are in kind of character exploration. So when we come together, I think there's a certain resonance that comes from that. You know, when you have these really finely crafted stories that that then are populated with
absolutely
really interesting, diverse characters. So that is, I think, that's the strength of our collaborative relationship.
I think I do
like working with other people too. I mean, that's fun too. And I like to write alone, and John likes to write alone also. So it's, I think it's just it's a case of variety and life being spicy, isn't it? You want an array of creative partnerships because you get different stuff done.
It keeps it interesting, that's for sure. Writing alone is a long, lonely, it can be a marathon. It can be running a marathon by yourself without anybody on the side is a pretty grim sometimes.
The thing is, I never felt that with theatre, but I think theatre is a much more manageable beast because essentially you have 2 hours to fill most of the time. And it tends to take place in a limited number of locations with a limited number of characters, whereas I think what you do and what I do, I mean, the canvas is vast, you know?
It's huge. Exactly. The bigger, we might get some people who disagree, but yes, I think theater writing plays, you have such a wonderfully narrow, it's wonderfully narrow, because I think you can be extremely creative with those confines.
Yeah. And I mean, it brings its own challenges, but they're different challenges, and I think they don't require stamina the same way that I imagine writing a novel must be exhausting. And I know that writing for film is just it's a huge process. Writing the graphic novel with John, I don't think we found it quite. It's not taxing in the same way. I think maybe partly because we had John principally had conceived such a, you know, we had so much detail in place because of John's, because of the exploration.
Have somebody that can world build like that and just provide you that canvas, I think that it's so much more rewarding to come up with those characters, and you have that depth to fall onto and to draw from. So I got to tell you, I'm excited to see this series unfold and, frankly, to start, you know, following you. When I Google you, though, Stuart, you're some guy selling farm equipment, and you're another guy. We need to work on that.
I've Googled myself more than once, and there's quite a strange assortment of people out there using my name in vain.
You should start a club.
I think so.
You should contact these people and go, we should get together. What an eclectic group.
I agree.
I love it. Okay, everybody. It's www.frostyogre.com. And by the way, that's ogre properly spelled, O-G-R-E, just in case somebody's going to, you know, fall off the wagon there. And please, I'm so excited to see what's coming up for you and for John and all of your projects.
Thank you. And thank you for your support. We really do appreciate it in the campaign.
Oh, that's easy. I want tickets when you guys win the Oscars or something.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Join us in 2 weeks, everybody. Ari Burke is going to be on the program, and I'm looking forward to that. Oh, my goodness, Grace, I'm going to take a deep breath. Next week's RT, so everybody have a wonderful week off, and thank you again. This was just wonderful. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Good night, everybody.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.